7th of November, 1990, 4:30 in the morning, I think it was, about half a mile from here, in Dunfermline Maternity Hospital, I was handed our first daughter, Kate. Catherine she was at the start, wasn't she? She was a Catherine. Her name got shortened and shortened and shortened. And our world changed forever. Everything that we knew and everything we thought, well, suddenly we were parents. Fiona and I were parents. And what delight it was to be parents and what a responsibility. And you've done that sort of thing, driving home from the hospital a few days later, very slowly. It didn't last long, but... But our world changed forever. And we were great parents. Oh, the very best parents we were. We got this thing sussed. We knew how to do this. We were good. And then just over 2 years later, on the 28th of January 1993, in the same place, not quite as unearthly a time in the morning, but our second daughter, Hannah, was born. And all the rules we knew about parenting were just thrown out the window. We thought we were so good. And we realized that our two daughters were so different in the way they approached things, in their the way that they would receive affection, the things that they wanted, whether they have a dummy or not, and all these things. They were completely different. And we had to relearn this whole parenting thing. And we're still learning this parenting thing. and also this grandparenting thing. Same family, same genes, and so utterly different. And a reminder that every one of us is unique. That no two of us are the same. You can come from the same family, the same parents, and be completely different. And if you've got siblings, you probably know that. We have a unique DNA. Our unique DNA, this unique identifier in our bodies. You know all the CSI stuff about how you can identify someone because of their DNA, that they can find out who somebody is. There's amazing things can become because of this thing called DNA. I don't quite understand it, I'm afraid. But we all have one, and it's all unique. And apparently it looks like the Fourth Road Bridge. Rail bridge, yeah. But there you go. And the same way that every person has a unique DNA, I believe that every church has a unique DNA. Liberty Church has its own unique DNA. Churches have many similarities. We hold much in common. I've been looking, doing quite a lot of work recently, just going around the churches in Dunfermline and trying to invest. And there's great things happening amongst the churches in Dunfermline with leaders to getting together and new conversations happening and people wanting to work together. Very exciting. Very exciting. But they're all completely different. And if you have visited other churches, maybe you've been looking for a church, maybe you've been walking, going around and trying different churches in Dunfermline or further afield, maybe you've been on holiday and you've been to other churches, you will know how different churches can be. We have the same God, the same Lord Jesus Christ, and it can be so utterly, utterly different. Different worship, different preaching, different coffee, different values, different environment. Everything can be different. Everything can be so different. And like every church, Liberty Church has its own unique DNA. And many people have decided to make Liberty Church their home after having been around different churches in the area and thought, this is the church that suits us. There's something about Liberty Church that suits us. And we are blessed by that. And I also know that people have been to Liberty Church and ended up somewhere else because Liberty Church didn't suit them. And that's fine because we all have our own unique DNA. As we move into this new era, we are working on a new Interliberty course. Fiona's already mentioned that. Be grateful for anybody who wants to come along to that course on Wednesday night. Interliberty, as Fiona explained, is a course that talks about who we are. It talks about our DNA and what it means to be part of Liberty Church. But at the same time we were doing that, I thought it would be a good time for us together to explore a little bit of our DNA. At the beginning of this year, we had a series called What Kind of People Ought We to Be? looking at as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we started the year and we talked about a year of taking ground before we even moved into this building, what kind of people ought we to be? And as we approach the end of the year, I know it's scary, when we approach the end of the year, we're asking the question, what kind of church are we? And what kind of church do we want to be as we move into this new era in our new home? What does Liberty Church's DNA look like? DNA talks about the building blocks of life, the things that make us who we are. What makes us who we are as a church? What's important to us as we move forward into this new era? And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of those building blocks, the things that uniquely identify us. We're going to start today on what I believe is a fundamental building block. And in some ways you think, does it really need to be stated? Do we really need to mention it? And yet I think it's so often neglected. And it's part of the reason that we moved into Liberty Center. It's part of our reasoning for coming in here into a new home. You know, it was a joy to hold my newborn daughters for the first time. And these tiny bundles of life. And there are certain times in life, things you want to freeze and you want to hold. And there's memories that live with you forever that will never go away. And certain times that in the lives of our children growing up, and they're thinking, this is just wonderful. Sometimes it lasted for 5 seconds, you know, and that's fine. Experiences can be short, but wonderful. And you're thinking, this is beautiful. Just hold on to this. Can we not just stay this way? Wouldn't it be great if they just stayed like this? But guess what? They don't. Children become toddlers and teenagers and adults, and they build their own lives. And much as we would like to freeze moments in time, we want our children to grow. We want to see them grow. Growth is normal and healthy. We'd be worried if there wasn't growth. We expect it as normal. Although it's wonderful to hold a newborn baby in your hands, if that newborn baby a year later is still the same size, you'd be seriously worried that there was something wrong, that there was something wrong, because our expectation is that a baby will grow. And in the same way, the church is a body. The Bible talks about the church as being a body. We should expect it to grow. Growth should be normal for our church. Do you love this? These are the post-its that we did last week. I thought that was a great post-it, just a great illustration. One of the ones that stuck on the wall. Liberty to grow. What do we want to see happening? For liberty to grow. Growth, I believe, is a fundamental part of our DNA. I recognize that sometimes we don't want to grow. We like things the way they are. Just like with our children, we think, this is a lovely moment. Let's just hold it like this forever. We want to freeze frame and hold on to things. But if we are a church that is taking ground, if we are being the people that God wants us to be, we should be growing. So what does growth mean? What does it mean to grow? Let me just give you this morning three areas which I think are fundamental to our growth as a church as we move forward. First of all, I think we are supposed to grow in size. I'm just going to name it and say we should be growing in size. Liberty Church should be getting bigger. We should be seeing more people added in. Sometimes we shy away from numbers, don't we? Numbers. We are not numbers, we are people. I appreciate that and I understand that. And numbers can be dangerous when we start to gauge our success by the number of people that we have in church. It's easy to base our success and worth on numbers, and conversations you have, particularly amongst church leaders, sometimes can be, oh, how big is your church? Oh, really? Oh, we're so much bigger. Or, oh, gosh, are you really? And we can judge each other. And then some conversations in the network that we have, the Scottish churches that we go along to, there's an unwritten rule that you do not mention, you don't ask somebody how big your church is. Because it's churches of all different, people are in urban places and people are in rural places, people, the church is just starting out. And it's not a gauge of success. There's a story that's told around the network of somebody who was asked how big their church was. How many people do you have on a Sunday morning? And he said, well, I guess between 2,000 and 3,000. And one of their associates heard them saying this and went to them later and said, I've been to your church on a Sunday morning, you've only got about 100 people. He said, well, that's between 2,000 and 3,000, isn't it? it becomes such an identifier, they're thinking, okay, but how big is your church? Size doesn't mean we're doing things well. There are many churches in rural areas that will always be small in numbers, but are always necessary for the community that's there. And at the same time, Hillsong are not going to start a church in Auchtermuchty. It's not going to happen, because their model is to be in bigger urban areas. That's where it works for them, and to be student areas, because they recognize something of what happens in those areas. So they move into Edinburgh, or they move into Glasgow, because that's what they do well. We're all different. And it doesn't mean to say that a small church forming in Auchtermuchty is any less important or any less moving in the kingdom of God than a Hillsong church or any other church in Edinburgh. It's not about the numbers in that sense, but it is about numbers in terms of we should expect people to be coming to Christ and added into our number. We should expect to grow in size. We should expect new people to be added into family, into our family. We should expect those who are already believers to be coming to Liberty Church, that God is bringing mature believers and those who know and say, this is going to be our home. I believe God's already doing that. We should also expect that people are coming to faith and being added into our number. Numbers are important. There's a whole book in the Bible about numbers. It's much of it is not very exciting. But God puts it in there as he goes through each tribe and says, how many people are there? And thinking, that's important. And growth in number should be normal for a church. When the anniversary service back in the summer, where I spoke about the marks of a church, growing church, we talked about the early chapters of Acts, and what do we see there? One of the marks is that people are added in. 3,000 on the first day of the church. How chaotic would that be? But then on days after that, and many more were added into the number. That should be our expectation. Growth in number should be normal for a church. This building, this home facilitates that growth. And by the time we complete phase two, we are going to need it. We were going to need it. You know, when the council told us that we had to build that car park out there, and we thought, you are kidding us. We have to invest all that money. If you want a church here, you've got to put the car park in. We need that car park. We need it right now. And boy, are we going to need it and more as we move forward. Let me ask you, how many here are praying for someone to come to faith? How many do you know somebody who's saying, I would love someone to come. I know someone I'm praying. I know someone I would love to be part of Liberty Church. And that puts something in our hearts to say, we want to see this church grow. Okay, they might end up in a different church. That's great. But I believe that Liberty, what God wants to build Liberty Church is to grow in size. It's part of our DNA. It was in the DNA of Liberty Church right as it started back in 1979. It was in the vision of Liberty Church before it was even formed. And it has to be part of our DNA as we take ground. We need to grow in size. Let's move on. Number two, we need to grow in faith. Jesus, in two examples, he mentions it in Matthew and in Luke, he talks about faith as a mustard seed. Most Bibles talk about faith the size of a mustard seed. That's not what it actually says. It says faith as or like a mustard seed. What does a mustard seed do? It grows. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, and he uses that illustration of the mustard seed that grows into a great tree, and the birds come and nest in its branches. Something so small becomes big. That's what faith is like. Faith should grow. The implication that Jesus, I believe, says is that faith is supposed to grow. As believers, we are saved by faith, we walk by faith, we live by faith. It's vital to our salvation, it's vital to our relationship with God. And our faith should grow as trust in God deepens. It's like a muscle. It grows as we exercise it. Faith means action. It means stepping out in stuff. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, he spells faith R-I-S. R-I-S-K. It means stepping out into something. It means trusting God and stepping out. Trusting God in the small things, seeing his faithfulness, and faith grows. It grows as we step out of our comfort zone. It grows as we see prayer answered. It grows as we tell faith stories. Moving into Liberty Center is a faith venture. Moving into the second phase of it is a faith venture. Buying this building is a faith venture. Starting new ministries is a faith venture. Inviting your friend to a church or to an event is a faith venture. Speaking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for someone, is a faith venture. We want to see our faith grow like a mustard seed. It starts small, but it grows. And our trust and our confidence in God grows. As we see God adding in to this fellowship and to this church, our faith grows. I believe our church is to grow in size, it's to grow in faith, and thirdly, to grow in character. To become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often neglected, I think. So often we accept our failings and our flaws, and we say, that's just the way I am, or it's just the way they are. They've always been like that. They'll always be, to the dying day, they're going to be like that. I'm always impatient. Oh, dear. Yes, I fly off the handle. I do things. Oh, I'm so mean. I'll always be mean. That's not what God's plan is for us. God's plan is to build the character of Christ into us. Sometimes I think that we just accept the way we are and there is no expectation of change, of growth. Last week we were talking about God coming to live in us. And the quote that I brought was a quote from C.S. Lewis from Mere Christianity, where it talks about God coming into our lives, into and making a home in us. And he starts doing a few little bits and pieces, a few adjustments, and adjusting the plumbing and mending the roof, and we think that's fine. And then he starts to do some things which really hurt. Or we think, oh, wait a minute, God. He starts to knock down some walls, and he starts to put on an extension and a new wing and a new courtyard. And the realization that God is not building what we thought he was going to build, which is a nice little cottage, but he is building a palace that's fit for a king. That is growth. That is what God wants to do in our lives. Paul talks about in Galatians 5, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit as we walk in the Spirit. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Christ in us. What does fruit do? It grows. Fruit that grows. It grows on trees. It's supposed to come. It's supposed to be something that comes in our lives. We need to invite the Spirit to grow his fruit in us. We are not supposed to stay the same. God loves us as we are. As Max Lucado, however you say it, I don't know how to pronounce it, says, God loves you the way you are. Yes, he does, but he doesn't intend to keep you that way. God's expectation is that we would grow in the character of Christ and become more like him. We're not supposed to stay the same. Philippians 1 and verse 6, one of my favorite things, where Paul says, confident of this, I am confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in me, will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. We are, and one of my favorite sayings, work in progress. What does progress mean? It means we're progressing. We're moving towards something. We're moving towards more Christ-likeness. We're moving towards wholeness and maturity. And God is doing something in our lives. We should expect change as we walk out our faith. We should expect that over time we become kinder and more patient and more joyful and more loving and more giving. And sometimes we don't even notice these things in our lives. But there should be evidence. And guess what? There is. I was hearing of an example of somebody who's around. They're not a believer, but somebody who is around Liberty Church people during the week, and their comment was that what they see here, what they see amongst the people, is a completely different environment from anything they've experienced before. People are nice to each other. People are generous. People talk well of each other. That's not what they're used to. They're not used to that in a business environment where it's much more cutthroat and aggressive. And when suddenly they're in an environment where people treat each other well. And we need to realize there is something different. And God wants to do more and more to build us, to meet that we and that the church would become a beautiful bride for Christ. More and more like Christ. We are works in progress. That progress will never be finished in this life. God will always be doing something. But that we would be open. God's plan is for his church to reflect Christ. His Spirit in us produces fruit as we surrender to him. We are supposed to grow. Part of our DNA is we're supposed to grow in size, in faith, and in Christ-like character. It's a fundamental building block of Liberty Church. We're not supposed to stay the same. How does it happen, though? It's often said, and rightly so, I think, that our focus should not be on growth, but on health. That we want to be a healthy church. Because if you're healthy, you will grow. And I think that is right. Growth will happen if a church is healthy. Jesus said, I will build my church. He will do it, but he will build his church, I believe, where he sees health, where he sees good relationships, where he sees unity, where he sees people who are walking together with him. There he will build his church. Growth doesn't happen by focusing on growth. You don't get a baby and say, grow! I messaged you a day ago and you have not grown since then. I put you on the scales. What are you up to? We don't do that with a baby. What we do is that we expect a baby to grow. We give them the right food. We put them in the right environment. It's the same with a gardener or a farmer in a field. They put a seed in and they don't go every day and measure just how big it is. They expect if they put the right nutrients in the right environment that their plants will grow. We focus on health and not on growth. If we focus on health, growth will come. Where there is health, there is growth. But where our focus should not be on growth, I don't believe our focus is on growth. I believe our expectation should be for growth. Not our focus, but our expectation. And that changes something in us. I believe that Liberty Church needs a shift of expectation. I believe that corporately we need something of a shift of expectation. Let me ask you, do we believe the Liberty Church will grow? Do we want Liberty Church to grow? Do you want a Liberty Church to grow in size, in faith, and in character? I think it takes a change in mindset. I think there needs to be a repentance. And I'm speaking personally, but I think as a church, repentance doesn't mean we say we're sorry, as we've gone over so many. To repentance means a change in direction in our thinking. I think for some of us, and I would say myself to included to a degree in this as well, we need to change our mind and think the way God thinks and to think towards growth. We need to believe that God wants to build something more than we currently have in faith, in size, in character. I think we need a change in our thinking. It's so easy not to expect growth. To think that, well, this is Liberty Church. We've always been this size. We'll always be this size. Well, you know, we've seen some answers to prayer. We'll just go through the rest of life and see some things. We'll be disappointed in other times, and that's okay. That's just the way it is. But that's just the way I am. I'm not going to change. We're not going to change. We're not going to become more like Christ-like. It's so easy to settle for what we have. And in many ways, that's easier. That's more comfortable. In many ways. But I believe that growth is fundamental to entering into new years, to continuing to take ground. We need to change our thinking. We need a paradigm shift as a church. We need to break off old thinking and old experience and the things that have held us back. That growth becomes our expectation. And if our expectation changes, I believe our behavior changes. When we expect something, our behavior changes. We live in a way that seeks to share our faith with others. We live in a way that we press to take faith risks that we maybe wouldn't have taken. And we align ourselves with the Spirit of God because we believe when we surrender to him that he will work in us for his good, for the glory of his kingdom, and for our good. And united together as one body, we proclaim the gospel. We step out in faith. We take risks. We surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit. Then we shall see growth as Jesus builds his church. Growth is not always comfortable. It brings many questions. How do we continue to be a family? That's so important to us. If we grow in size, how do we continue to be family? We're going to have to work it out. I believe it's possible. We just need to work it out. How do we step in the right directions? How do we know we're going in the right directions? Let's just keep coming back to God. More people. It's messy. 3,000 people on the first day of the church. It was messy. People are messy things. We leave mess wherever we go. Growth in faith is risky. Growth in character can be scary. Messy, risky, and scary. There you go. That's a good message for a Sunday morning. It's easier sometimes to settle. And that's why I think we need to name it this morning and say the DNA of Liberty Church is growth. A building block of Liberty Church. Liberty Church is destined for growth. I don't want to miss out on the blessing of seeing lives transformed. I do not want the baby to still be a baby in a year's time, and I do not want the seed to remain as a seed. What is Liberty Church like in this new era? It's a church which is growing in size, in faith, in character, becoming more like Christ. A healthy church will grow. I believe that Liberty Church is a healthy church. And the time is ripe for growth. And we need to change our expectation and believe growth is coming.